The last paragraph, which starts with, "It must be kept in mind." Just keep it open. Before that, we'll go through the promise divine. In the jail, he had received the divine message, "I am rising up this nation to send forth my word. It is for the world and not for themselves that they arise. I am giving them freedom for the service of the world." This is what Sri Aurobindo announced when he came out of the Alipur jail. And this should be our guiding light. While studying any book written or authored by Sri Aurobindo, and when I say authored, that means his indirect influence. His indirect influence, many books have been written, and many novels have been written by the influence of Sri Aurobindo. We will talk about that later. But let us understand first the seemingly simple promise given by Sri Krishna. And before we go to this promise, let us understand from what level of mind this promise is coming. Because the entire synthesis of yoga is nothing but synthesizing the various layers of our mind. You always remember that when we talk about yoga, now in this century, yoga means controlling chitta vrittis. And we should know the difference between mind and capital M mind used by Sri Aurobindo. Aurobindo just doesn't say mind. When he writes mind, many places you will always find in synthesis of yoga, it starts with a capital M, and that capital M is chitta. Manas, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. These are the four layers of mind. And when you cross the ahankara, you enter the supramental plane. So this particular promise that Sri Aurobindo received in jail was from the level of overmind, just below the supramental level. That we should remember. Because as we go on conducting these classes, Sri Aurobindo will lead us to one level of mind to higher levels of mind. You will feel that transformation in this week. But the only thing I want you is, be open. Don't let your preconceived ideas come now. You can analyze it later. You can discuss it later. But what now you are supposed to do is just be open. Just to be open, whether you like this statement or not. Because the moment you say, "I like this statement," the ego comes in, the ahankara comes in. And once ahankara comes in, the entire integral yoga falls down. So the capital mind, this is received from the capital mind, chitta. After that you have ahankara. And after that, the real goal of integral yoga, the truth consciousness, or what we in the Vedantic literature call it as Vijnanamaya Kosha, conceived. So this is the promise. If you go through these stages of synthesis of yoga, you will be led by Sri Aurobindo himself. Layer after layer of your mind will be opened and peeled off. But you should allow it to be done. That's most important. For that, this promise is very important. This is the reason for which Sri Aurobindo came out of the jail and allowed himself labeled as a coward. Because after this Alipur ashram, let us not call it a jail, because it depends on how you look at it. For the outsiders, for those who were then struggling for the independence struggle, and for Britishers also, Sri Aurobindo was jailed. But we know now that it was not a jail for him, it was an ashram for him. So that is the type of reorientation of thinking that is required. Wherever you are in the Sri Aurobindo's ashram of supramental truth. Wherever you are, whatever job you are doing, it is not the job which is important, it is not the place you are residing which is important, it is not with whom you are living which is important. Because Sri Aurobindo lived with gundas. In the jail, you can understand what type of people were around him. And so eloquently he writes that suddenly he found that all are Narayanas. All are Narayanas. And if Sri Aurobindo can look at the people who have jailed him as Narayanas, the people with whom he is forced to live as Narayanas, we are free people. We are not forced to live where we are, but we are supposed to live there because of certain obligations for evolution. You remember this, if you are understanding, if you are knowing why you are there, you are practicing integral yoga. That is the first step towards integral yoga. Don't try to change your habit. Don't try to change your thinking pattern. Allow it to be changed. Do you understand the difference? You are not going to change your thinking pattern. We are allowing something more powerful than us to change us. That is what we are going to read. But why this change? Why this supramental descent? What is it that made Sri Aurobindo, who was supposed to be the most single dangerous man in India at that time, feared by the Britishers as the one single man who is capable of overthrowing them? And he overthrew them, that is another story. But for all practical purposes, we feel that he is sick. He sat without any work. Many times, many politicians came to him, asking him to come out of that silence. And if I am right, it is Sri Champaklal who wanted a guarantee from Sri Aurobindo. He said, okay, I will come over to the ashram. I am not sure of the name, but if you can say, tell me the name of that revolutionary. He went to Sri Aurobindo in 1920s and he said, you who were the leader of our that great revolutionary spirit in India, you are sitting quietly in Pondicherry. Then Sri Aurobindo said, you are also welcome. Why do you feel that you are not welcome? You can also come and join the ashram. Then he said, no, I have a duty to perform. I have decided that I will work for the freedom of India. And therefore, if anybody can give me a guarantee that India will be free, and that too soon, then I will join the ashram. Then it seems that Sri Aurobindo kept quiet for a few minutes. And then he said, I give you the guarantee. A.B. Purani, right. You understand? By what power did Sri Aurobindo say that India will be free? And he has asked a revolutionary not to work for India's freedom because this is the promise which he got. I am from Lord Krishna, and for us it is the plane of overmind. So from the plane of the overmind, he received this message. Then Sri Aurobindo must have been in what level of mind when receiving this message? Just below it. Scientific mind. Why I am telling you? You should be so clear of your ideas, from which plane they are coming. So this message was coming from the overmind, from Lord Krishna. And Sri Aurobindo got this message from the level of intuition. And what does he intuit? Intuition, you know? Intuition means he does not question it. You can't question intuition, it comes, that's all. There is no logic, there is no explanation. You just accept. That is what we call intuit. What did he intuit? He heard Lord Krishna telling, I am rising up this nation to send forth my word. And now what do we mean by word from the plane of overmind? That is how we should think about what we are reading. Whenever you read something, you should know the reference point. When Shankaracharya says, Papoham Papa Karmaham, and we also repeat it, and say that Shankaracharya was also a sinner, because he has written that sloka, Papoham Papa Karmaham, what can you do? So, I am praying to you, O Lord. Then do you mean to say that Shankaracharya was a sinner? And if Shankaracharya was not a sinner, why did he write that? Papoham Papa Karma. Because for Shankaracharya, having a body itself is a sin. You understand the point? Because for Shankaracharya, the man who propagated the Advaita philosophy, for him, the greatest trouble was to be in the body. That was his sin. And do you think the sinner who is reading that understands Shankaracharya's mind? But we can. We can, because we have this book. But we have to study it just like we study any other science. And when you want to study it, you should understand the definitions first. And then you should know the formulas that are being utilized. And then it becomes a science. And as I go on, I will be giving you both the definition as well as the formulas to utilize the various mental forces. The formula to utilize the higher mind. The formula to utilize the human mind. The formula to utilize the intuitive mind, the formula to utilize the over mind, and then the last, the complete surrender, where you don't have a formula, but you just accept the descent of the super mind, the supramental descent. So this is in short is the synthesis. We are going to synthesize our lower mind with the higher mind, and then from the higher mind we will go to the illumined mind. From the illumined mind, we will go to the intuitive mind. From the intuitive mind, we will go to the over mind, and then we will keep quiet. Not till then, you cannot keep quiet even if you want to. You have to understand all these levels. That is what he meant by word. And that word is Om. The three states of consciousness, the Jagrata, Swapna and Sushupti, and the three merging into Surya. So this word we will have to take to the world. This is the destiny of India, and this is why India was given freedom. And this book he wrote before India was free. You remember that? There may be many editions later, but it was serialized in Arya, and at that time India was not free. And if you can correlate the various incidents, it was the First World War that was going in when he started the Arya. And when its editions came, it was the Second World War which was ending. And now the Third World War is going on. It is now in progress. We are not able to understand the Third World War process because alone, single-handedly, Sri Aurobindo is fighting that battle for us. That is what Mother meant when she wrote that epic. Am I right? The words she has written about Sri Aurobindo. We thank you. Who single-handedly fought. Do you understand what Mother said? She was talking about the Third World War in the intuitive plane. And when nobody came, and when Sri Aurobindo was forced to leave his body, let me use this harsh word, because sometimes to get up we need harsh words. It is we feel he need not have left his body. When Mother comes for the last time and sees him, did you know with what anguish she said? He has decided to leave. That is what she said. To leave what? Because he helped in the First World War, he helped in the Second World War. I don't know how many of us who believe in him as an avatar really know in what way he fought the different battles, even when he was in the physical plane. It is 12 years with Sri Aurobindo. What was the author's name? Nirodhan. You please read it. Don't say I know it. You read it in this angle. And then you will understand what I am saying, that almost we are coming to the other promise, where India is supposed to give this supramental truth to the world. And who will give it? If we who hear about it, we will speak about it, don't tell it to the world, who will tell it? Those who don't know, don't know. So this is what I want to impress, that this is what we are going to utilize the freedom that is given to us by Lord Krishna. By giving this message of two volumes, one is the synthesis of yoga and the other is light divine, and that is why I titled it as the promised divine. Now, when we have the divine promise, let us have a few slides of light divine also. Chapter 27, the sevenfold call of being. Number 7 is very important. As we go on into this understanding of integral yoga, we will come to the 7 planes of mind. And that into 7 becomes 7 into 7, 49, the revisions of Savitri. Every time when Sri Aurobindo rose in his yogic practices, step-wise, and when I say his practices, I mean the practices he did for the world. It is not that he required to do those practices. He did it for us. And every time he went one level up in the consciousness, he revised it to Savitri. And each year he revised the Savitri. Why? Next slide. In Rig Veda, this is from Life Divine, chapter 27. It is not from Synthesis of Yoga. But why I wanted this is, the Life Divine is the cause for synthesis. If you don't have a divine life, there is no reason for synthesis. So, the first is the 7 chord being. We have 7 levels of mind. And then, in the ignorance of my mind, this is a Rig Veda. He has not given the reference of the shloka. Okay, forget about it. In the ignorance of my mind, I ask of these steps of God that are set within. the steps of God? Just a minute. Just a minute. Any question? So the seven steps of God, layers of mind. In the ignorance of my mind, we don't know we have seven steps of mind. I ask these steps of God that are set within. The all-knowing gods have taken the infant of a year and they have woven about him seven threads to make this web. So we, if we can completely surrender in total surrender in 1 year, even the supramental descent can happen. This is the promise of this mantra, and a mantra, whatever it promises, it gives. If you fulfill the condition, what is the condition here? Set within. The seven steps that are set within. So we should understand the seven layers of the mind. And then, the all-knowing gods have taken the infants of India. And every time, when the Ramanavami comes, just 9 days before it, we have the Ugadi. So every time the infant year starts from Ugadi, 1 year goes on, another Ugadi comes. 1 year goes on, another Ugadi comes. So each Ugadi can become a stepping stone. Either you finish the synthesis of yoga in 1 year or in 7 years. The maximum limit is 7 years. The minimum limit is 1 year. You can't finish synthesis of yoga's practice in less than a year, however fast you may grow. And you should not take more than 7 years. You understand the time limit? Can you take the challenge? That is up to you. But I am going to give the challenge very clearly in these 7 days. Next slide. We pose 8 principles instead of 7, and then we perceive that our existence is a sort of refraction of the divine existence. In inverted order of ascent and descent thus arranged, that is the Sat-Chit-Anand, existence, conscious force, bliss, then the supermind on one level of descent, and on the other level of ascent, from matter we enter life, we enter sight, and then the mind. So in life, we as the individualized human beings are at this level. This is an ascent going on. Because of this continuous descent, try to understand about this thing. The existence descended into matter. Now, the existence is ascending. From matter, it has ascended to life, what is known as the vital body or the nervous body or the nervous system. And then the psyche you can take in our Vedantic literature as aham. And then this is chitta. And then this is, beyond these two, the supermind. The divine descends from pure existence through the play of consciousness force and bliss. Sat, Chit, Anand. These three words are the three pillars on which we will develop the entire structure of integral yoga. These are the three pillars. Don't forget them. Sat, Chit, Anand. Existence, consciousness, force, bliss. And their equivalent in the descent is existence is matter, conscious force is life, bliss is sight, and then the creative medium. This entire play of these four things, the cosmos, the divine world, is created by supermind. So this is the creative force, the Brahma.
and the creative medium of the supermind into cosmic being, we ascend from matter through a developing life, soul and mind, and the illuminating medium of supermind towards the divine being. So, this is the entire plan of integral yoga. We have to understand these 8 levels of consciousness. And after understanding these 8 levels of consciousness, we should understand the involution of mind into matter, and then the ascent of matter into mind, and how it is now ready to receive the supermind to it, or to ascend the supermind from it. Either the supermind can go into the mind, or the mind can go to the supermind. If the supermind goes to the mind, it is a descent, and when the mind goes towards the supermind, it is an ascent. The descent is not in our control, but the ascent as an aspiration is in our control. If you aspire for understanding this, and you can surrender yourself to the supermind, the basics of integral yoga are fulfilled. This is the basics. Have you an aspiration to reach the supermind? Just as when a lecturer asks a student, suppose he is aspiring to become a doctor, what does he ask? Are you aspiring to be a doctor? Or just you want to be a doctor because in society he is given the respect? So do you want supermind because we are aspiring for it, or because it is only a fashion? Let us be very clear in it. Because Sri Aurobindo always used to stress that it is the integrity and sincerity of your thought which is important. It is not what we think about you or others think about you which is important. You should be with what is known as the Jnana Khadga, Viveka, the sword of knowledge. You should analyze yourself. That is this an aspiration towards mind which has brought us here? If it has not brought us here, let us start aspiring from now. You can start aspiring at any time. And when once you aspire, you be sure the reaction is certain. And what is the reaction? The descent of the supermind. But the descent of the supermind, how can you understand it? Now we go to page 281, chapter 13, the supermind and the yoga of words. I thought to start with this chapter because many of us, please believe me, were working with Mother and Aurobindo since many lives. This is a truth which we have to accept. Whoever is in any way related to Sri Aurobindo, whether as a worker in a printing press, composing the book, in whatever sort he is, whether he hears it from somebody or sees a photograph of Sri Aurobindo, there is nothing by chance there. Because in truth consciousness, what you call as a chance doesn't happen. In truth consciousness, everything is truth. Everything is satya. So this point you should always remember, that if you think that this is the first time you are coming in contact with integral yoga or Sri Aurobindo, it is wrong. It is your concrete mind, your lower mind, which is putting you into this limitation. Anyone who reads integral yoga, even the name, even the title, must have been with Sri Aurobindo since many births. That is very, very important to remember. Because our concrete mind, the lower mind, especially the lower animal mind, which talks about only 4 things, ahara, nidra, bhaya, maidhunancha. Is it okay if I put that in English, in Sanskrit? Or do you want an explanation for this? Ahara means food, bhaya means fear, maidhana means procreation, sleep. even though we have been in contact with Sri Aurobindo since so many lifetimes, it is a guarantee given by mother also. You should read what Aurobindo said about mother. It is not the first time that we as a group are coming into this planet Earth. We have been in other planets also to work for this cause. Can you understand the depth to which Sri Aurobindo was hinting when he said that you worked in other planets also with me and now you say, I can't understand. Why? Because we are not allowing our consciousness to grow. And for growth, what do you want? Just the spirit of surrender. A seed surrenders to the earth, it grows. What more does it want? It is as simple as that. But sometimes I find that simple things become very complicated. Probably because of over-explanation. And let me hope I don't over-explain, nor under-explain. So you got this point? The duty of India is to spread the message of integral yoga and life divine. That is why Sri Aurobindo, the chosen vessel for the entire humanity. Let us be very clear when we talk something. It is not being very proud of it. When Newton says, I have discovered Newton's laws, do you mean he is proud of it? He is saying a statement. When Einstein says, I have discovered the Einsteinian laws, do you mean that Einstein is having ahankara? No. Einstein is just saying a statement of fact. And when mother wrote about Sri Aurobindo, that single-handedly, that body has been the vessel for all these things, including the single-handed fight of Third World War. Believe in it. Accept it. Don't let your egoistic, small-centered mind deny and misunderstand this statement of truth. And again, this statement of truth is also right. We have worked for him. We are working now unconsciously also. What is happening from... Even matter is unconsciously supporting the truth conscious. You don't think that matter is going against truth. That is what the integral factor comes in Sri Aurobindo's theory. Because in general, we think that our body, our desires, our thoughts should be rejected. They have no place. But when you talk about truth consciousness, don't you think that matter itself is playing a very important role? Whatever that role is, Sri Aurobindo himself will tell it. But you remember this, why I am telling it, even though you are not aware that you are a co-worker with Sri Aurobindo, you are a co-worker. And what I want you, can't you be an active co-worker? Many people ask me, how to be active? Read this book. Read this book into the world. Don't say nobody is hearing it. If you sit quietly in your room and read this, what is happening? Your mind's vibrations are changing. And do you know the most potent force in the world is mind? If the subtle atomic force is so powerful, how much more powerful is mind? Our mind. But how should we use our mind? By reading this book. So, if you find this book a formidable one, it is only for the appearances. Once you understand that you are a co-worker, you have already finished many of these levels. I am sure, and I can guarantee one thing, that many of you are in the verge of intuitive plane. On the verge of intuitive plane, but unfortunately, we have forgotten it. Then what you have to do? Just I was telling you just a few minutes before. The only thing is you have to awaken. You need not learn all these things. What you have to do is to awaken yourself. Jagrata prapyavaran nibodhata. Uttishta. Jagrata prapyavaran nibodhata. Uttishta, get up. Prapyavaran, the moment you get up, you get all the boons. So this is the role of India, mind you, that is what Mother and Sri Aurobindo meant when they put Akhanda Bharat. Akhanda Bharat means the entire planet Earth is Bharat. And when you say Bharat, I am not talking about the political aspects of India. I am talking about the spiritual aspects of India. It was the India's spiritual consciousness which was Jagadguru once, and again it is going to be revived. It is not that you have to again learn something and be Jagadguru. You have to be awakened to your status of Jagadguru. That is Akhanda Bharat. Next. See the 281, you see the page number, and let us read it out. And I want to read it out why Sri Aurobindo's English is mantric in nature. You remember this. Once upon a time, until Sri Aurobindo chiseled the English language, Sanskrit was the greatest language. Why greatest language? Because it is mantric in nature. Do you understand what you mean by mantric in nature? The vibrations are enough. Whether you understand it or not, the vibrations are enough. That is why Mother used to say, you need not understand Savitri. You should read Savitri. But if you go on reading Savitri and you don't understand, that means the vibrations are not penetrating into the depths of your mind. That is something else. So, whenever I read this book or whenever I teach this book, I always want to repeat the words of Sri Aurobindo as he has written it. So, the second paragraph in page 281, and those who don't have the book can see it, but I would prefer those who have the book to see the book and keep the book with you. Don't give this book to anybody else from today onwards. It is a specially charged words linked with your brain. When you go through these lines, something illuminating is happening. You are in the illuminating mind just below the intuitive level. And those who don't have the book, it doesn't matter, you hear the words. It must be kept in mind that the supramental change is a difficult, distant and an ultimate stage. You see the adjectives used by Sri Aurobindo. For us, supramental state is difficult. And then what does he say? It is distant. And then he says it is an ultimate stage. And when he means ultimate stage, it means once you reach the supramental state, again the planet Earth has to wait for some millions of years to go to the other higher level. So in that way the supramental state is ultimate. Relatively, it is not ultimate, but relatively it is ultimate. The human being is now ready to enter the supramental state, but it is still distant to him. And it is difficult to him also, but it is the ultimate one. You understand the adjectives clearly? It must be regarded as the end of a far-off vista. So you understand what I mean by far-off vista? Once you reach the supramental plane and start living in the truth consciousness, for many millions of years, your consciousness has to wait to go further changes. That is what he meant by as the end of a far-off vista. Now, this is what the major fault which we do. It cannot be and must not be turned into a first aim. When we are reading this integral yoga, naturally what is our first aim? To reach Supramind. Naturally. But very clearly Sri Aurobindo warns that the supramental change cannot be and must not be turned into a first aim. Be careful of that. It is our aim. It is our ultimate aim. and it is the ultimate aim for us and for humanity, a far off vista. For humanity, for us it is the ultimate aim, but when you start reading this book, it should not be and it cannot be your first aim, but a constantly envisaged goal or an immediate objective. You should not, this also should not be that you should always go on thinking that I should receive the supramental descent or I should go. Neither the ascent of the mind to supermind nor the supramental descent must be a constantly envisaged goal or an immediate objective. Don't do that. For it can only come into the view of possibility after much arduous self-conquest and self-exceeding at the end of many long and trying stages of a difficult self-evolution of nature. Even Sri Aurobindo, when he had this new body, he has to strain himself for 12 years for the supramental descent, which he already got it. You understand what I mean? Mentally, he was in the supramental level because the moment he started practicing pranayama, his mind was still. You remember the biography of Sri Aurobindo? One Maharashtrian yoga teacher, Lele, gave him a breathing practice. And he said, you do it. For 3 days, Sri Aurobindo did that practice. And after that what happened? Sri Aurobindo lost his mind. Not in the negative sense. Because when you say lost his mind, we mean something else. But really Sri Aurobindo lost his mind. There was no mind there. Then he went to Lele and he said, what happened? He said, what happened? I also don't know. This is the goal for which we do pranayama, and you say you have achieved it. Then what to do? Then you can't do anything. You just pray God. You are following the aspect. So, this orders self-conquest and self-exceeding. You should go beyond the individual thinking process. You should stop thinking like an individual. Then how should you think? He himself will tell that. But you understand, it must be an order, self-conquest and self-exceeding. And if we as Sri Aurobindonians talk about integral yoga and we don't have an order, self-conquest and self-exceeding at the end of many long and trying stages, he is not talking about years. He says about the stages of mind. And in Patanjali Yoga Sutra, the stages can be easily conquered, they say, if there is Tivra Samvega Nam Asannaha. The stages are to be achieved now itself if there is a very intensive aspiration. Tivra Samvega. So when he says self-conquest and self-exceeding and orders, he is not talking about time factor there. He is talking about, did you reach the stages? Have you a very clear-cut notion of higher mind? We are very conscious of the lower mind, the engineers, the doctors, the scientists. These are all lower mind expressions because they deal with lower matter. When a scientist deals with lower matter, he is using lower mind. So these stages, and in these 6 days, I can give you a guarantee that we will reach the intuitional level. But be prepared for that. It should be ordered. You have to read and read and read again only these paragraphs. You need not read, and read in this order because it helps you to understand in a better way. So therefore you have prepared the copies of Magana, you just circulate it. And those who have the books, no problem, you can just remember the page and read it. Difficult self-evolution of the nature. This is what we have to understand in yoga. Really yoga means evolution. but evolution in a very fast way. And that is quite possible when you can make your life, all life as yoga. It is very easy to talk this word, but to practice this word, to practice this, when you say all life is yoga, and when I touch this, I should know how the evolutionary factors of iron or steel, whatever it may be, are interacting with each other. You are sitting there on the table. Do you remember that mother always warns, don't push the chair, handle it carefully as if it has got its own individuality. Do you remember it? Don't push it with your legs. Just keep it slowly. No sound, no jarring sound must come. Every sound is a product of yoga. And when you draw the chair, creating a harsh voice, a sound. Do you know many times when some sand is there and when something is moved over the sand, do you find it very hard, don't you? Am I able to express my problem? The harshness of the sound? So be careful. All life is yoga means this. And when you can't love your own neighbor, your own people in the group, how can you say you are a practitioner of integral yoga? When you are not supposed to touch a chair without love. So all life is yoga, we will come later. But this is what he says. Understand self-evolution, man helps the evolution of the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, and the animal kingdom. Are you aware that you are helping in the evolution of these three kingdoms? If you are not aware, you are unconscious of your role. But it is happening. It is happening. But we are not conscious of our goals. And if you are conscious, what happens? Evolution of millions of years can be compressed into few years. And that is what yoga is. So you should feel the power, the pressure of compression. That is what tapasya is. Are you feeling that continuous pressure of evolution in yourself? It is the existence. You remember the table? Existence. Conscious force. You are able to remember? Sat, Chit, Anand, Supermind. And then the force. So it is the power of the existence which is pushing us, which is expressing itself through us. You should be aware of that every moment. The pressure, you should be aware of it. Are we aware of it? This is the self-order, self-conquest and self-exceeding. So this we must remember. I don't know if I could convey the spirit of it. What Sri Aurobindo used to say as the tapasya, what in Savitri is known as the Ashwapati Yoga. Ashwa means mind. Shwa means past and tomorrow. A means no past, no tomorrow. Ashwapati. So beyond time consciousness. That beyond time consciousness is working in you in a triple way. As the past, present and future. This we have to discuss every time we are together. And remember, in truth consciousness, all this has already happened. I don't know if you can understand what is meant by this very silly statement. So when we talk about Akhanda Bharat, in truth consciousness it has already happened. And similarly, you are achieving the supramental plane has already happened in truth consciousness. Now what are we supposed to do? There is no other way except much order, self-conquest and self-exceeding. You understand what I mean by self-exceeding? When you mean by self-exceeding, your mind must know all the four states of mental consciousness. The higher mind, the illumined mind, the intuitive mind and the over mind, and then let the super mind's light light all these four. This is a seemingly arduous task for us, but for supramental, it is very easy, and probably it has already happened. Next. Page 281, second para. One must, where is it? Same para, 281, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th line. Second para, 7th line, you got it? One must first acquire an inner yogic consciousness and replace it by our ordinary view of things, natural movements, motives of life. One must revolutionize the whole present build of our being. So this is what Sri Aurobindo asks us as the first step towards the practice of integral yoga. This is what you have to say. You have to acquire an inner yogic consciousness. And what is yogic consciousness? You should understand what evolution is. And then, where you are in the evolution. And then, speed up your evolution. These are the three steps which you have to learn. And Sri Aurobindo gives it very clearly in the introductory chapters, five chapters. So don't worry what they are. You try to understand the steps. The step is yogic consciousness. And this yogic consciousness, if you view the life, if maybe I sound personal, but some examples have to be personal to understand. Somewhere in India, I was attending a class in integral yoga. And then he said, she is a daughter, last year couldn't get a visa. But when he started studying integral yoga, his daughter got a visa. It looks very logical, but it is not yogic. Because a common man thinks about yoga like this, what benefit I will get physically by doing it. But we reading Sri Aurobindo and still think about the materialistic benefits which we are sure to get, but about which we should not make a practice that this is why we are doing integral yoga. Whatever may happen in your day-to-day life, it should not interfere with your awareness of yogic consciousness. So never try to fathom the results of integral yoga with the physical benefits, the mental benefits, the emotional benefits, the desires that are fulfilled for us. You put a stop there. Never try to see that because I am doing this integral yoga, I got this benefit. You will get the benefit because it is integral. Because it is a part of the totality. But don't give emphasis to the part, to the wish that is fulfilled, but try to understand the totality. That is what he says, one must first acquire an inner yogic consciousness and replace by our ordinary view of things. Am I clear now with the examples I have given? The ordinary view of things you should forget. When being a student of integral yoga, repeat, let me repeat it. When you are practicing integral yoga, this mindset must be there. Not every time. You can enjoy what you are eating. Don't say that because I am practicing integral yoga, a sweet should not be sweet and I can't enjoy a sweet thing. But it should be only a part of your evolution. And how does eating food gives you a hold on evolution? Can you tell me? Eating food makes you a very important contributor to evolution. That is what our Indian yogis have said. Your mind is formed by the food you eat.
If you eat with that awareness, you are a yogi. So it is only it has to be replaced. What is to be replaced? Whatever you are doing, do it. Replace it with a yogic view of things. You are eating? Know how that food is going to control your mind. There is an incident in Mahatma Gandhi's life when he was arrested and was put in jail. A culprit who was already in the jail was asked to cook food for him. So Gandhi took that food that night and he dreamt as if he was killing his mother. And he was very much perplexed, Gandhi. I am a votary of Ahimsa, practicing Ahimsa for so many years, and because of that Ahimsa I am going to get independence to India, and I dream like this. Because yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta svapna avabodhasya. Even your dream is important in yoga. So Gandhi was perplexed, and then a commission was placed, and luckily the commission was over within few minutes. Nowadays the commissions take years together, and that commission gave the report that the man who cooked food for Gandhi was charged with murder of his mother. Now for a yogi, eating food also becomes very important. Are we so aware of what we are eating? You have to. Sri Aurobindo says, every step of yoga you have to cross. You just can't say that because I am practicing supramental descent, I don't have to go through those stages. Every stage has to be covered. So eating, ahara, and the way you sleep. Charaka says that obesity is caused by not knowing how to sleep. A very simple practice, huh? So if the obesity clinics know about this, they will see that this is not given out. Because if you can sleep well, there will be no obesity. So all these stages are the part of the inner yogic consciousness. You need not tell to others. You are eating with so many people. You can be aware of what you are eating and what changes it is going to bring in your mind. Remember it. Next we have to go still deeper. Discover our veiled psychic entity, and the page is changed. In its light and under its government, psychicize our inner and outer parts, turn mind nature, life nature, body nature, and all our mental, vital, physical action and states and movements into a conscious instrumentation of the soul. The physical matter, the desire matter, and the lower mental matter. And here, you as a Jivatma, and this Jivatma is aware of its birth with Narayana. That is what Sri Aurobindo always calls Nara-Narayana combination. The soul which is aware of its continuity of birth is Narayana. The soul which is only aware of this present birth is Nara. And always remember that Nara and Narayana come together. Always it is a mathematical equation. Whenever Sri Aurobindo comes, mother will come. And whenever mother and Sri Aurobindo are there, all of us will be together. The only difference is, mother and Sri Aurobindo know it, we don't know it. Whether you know it or not, it is a fact. This is exactly what Sri Krishna said to Arjuna also. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacha Arjuna. Tanyaham veda sarvani natvam vetha parantapa. I and you have been born many times together.
I know all of them, you don't know it. So what you supposed to do? You do what I say, because I know everything. And luckily for us, Sri Aurobindo has given this monumental work where every thought aspect has been taken care of. We'll read it, we'll finish it in these 6 days. You will understand how he has taken care of every thought. The only thing is, when we are reading it, we should be aware of it. So this continuity of consciousness, we should take it for granted. When you are reading this synthesis of yoga, you are not reading it for the first time. You are reading it for the first time in English language. When you are with Sri Aurobindo and Mother, do you think they have wasted their energies on us? No, they can't waste their energy. We are not aware of what is happening to us. This realization is a must for integral yoga practitioners. Then what happens? You have a guarantee that because from life after life you are being followed by the great man, in this birth, very clearly he has asked us that this message should go to the world, then the only thing which we should do as Sri Aurobindonians is to spread this message of life divine and synthesis of yoga. And for this, you do not have to go to anywhere. You just sit and study. This type of activity is enough to spread the message. But this should be a continuous 365-day practice, not a simple class for 1 week by somebody and then you forget. It should continue. And then only we can realize what Krishna meant to Sri Aurobindo when he said, I am giving independence to India to spread this thing. And for 60 years, I don't think we have done anything in this context, in this view of things. Next. Afterwards or concurrently, we have to spiritualize the being in its entirety by a descent of a divine light, force, purity, knowledge, freedom and whiteness. This we can't supply. This happens. That is what he said. We can't spiritualize ourselves. But the guru can spiritualize. The master can spiritualize. The supermind can spiritualize us. But that is the last step. Next. It is necessary to break down the limits of the personal mind, life, physically. This is what we are supposed to do. You try to understand the importance of it. These two pages, 281 and 282, every day if you can read it like Bhagavad Gita, but don't make it a parayana. I have read it. Practice it. And if my thoughts will help you, it's my pleasure. But certainly Sri Aurobindo and Mother will take care of you. You will know the difference of thought when you are reading it. I guarantee it. The only thing is, you have to break down the limits of the personal mind. Do you ever, when talking, forget that you are talking and you talk something? Especially teachers have this experience. They go on teaching the subject. Just before starting the subject, they are aware that they are talking and the students are hearing. But after some time what happens? The students forget that they are hearing. The teacher forgets that they are teaching. Both of them merge in the subject. That is breaking down of the personal mind. And this you should do when you are reading these lines. You should break down the personal mind. And then what you have to do? Not only the personal mind, your life, and physicality. A very peculiar word in Sri Aurobindo's English. We find these difficulties of the language. What does he mean by physicality? Physicality means your awareness of physical consciousness. That means I am talking here, I am aware of this book, I am aware of this low color thing, I am aware of all of you, I am aware of the fan moving. This is physicality. You understand now what is physicality? You are aware of your physical surroundings, but you have to spiritualize it. Just being aware physically of this chair and that is not enough. You should know how to spiritualize it. In the introductory 5 chapters, Sri Aurobindo very clearly tells us how to do it. So don't worry. But I am stressing this because these 2 pages, 81 and 82, by now you must have understood, Sri Aurobindo has given you a timetable how you should go about his integral yoga. Dissolve the ego. This is the most important point. The difference between overmind and supermind is the very fine layer of ego. You have to dissolve the ego. This dissolving of ego, if you have a time to read Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's Life by Romya Rolla, read it. There you will understand the various steps through which Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa entered the ego dissolving state, keeping ego with him. When you dissolve the ego, what happens generally is this body is gone. And you will not be able to revive it. But in Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's life, a very peculiar dadi wala comes. Not physically, of course. In his subtle vision, and he says, Bhava Mukho Bhava. This is the word that has been utilized by Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's guide. And what Sri Aurobindo here says is, dissolve your ego. Both mean the same thing. But Bhava Mukho Bhava. You do read this as an exercise. Get the biography of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa by R.R. Romeo Rolla, a Nobel Prize winner. He has written a biography of Sri Vivekananda. So read it. Then you can understand the principal steps of integral yoga as practiced by Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, reaching the intuitive mind. The levels. You should have a role model so that you can know where you stand. So if you read Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and his life, you will know the various steps by which the personal mind reaches the intuitive mind. That is Bhava Mukho Bhava. That is where the integration comes in. You will have to find all the great people in world history to understand Aurobindo, leave alone to practice Sri Aurobindo. How everything becomes automatically integrated in his sadhanas. First I told you about the Gita and the Krishna's voice telling that he is giving freedom to India. And then I talked about Vivekananda's help to Sri Aurobindo. And now I am talking about Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's role as a partner to Sri Aurobindo's integral yoga. You try to understand this, all of us are partners. But Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was a very active partner of integral yoga. This we will have to understand. And Sri Aurobindo himself talks about Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa in the introductory chapter. Next. Yoga is a rapid and concentrated conscious evolution of the being. But however rapid, even though it may affect in a single life, what in an unassisted nature might take centuries and millenniums or many hundreds of lives, still all evolution must move by stages. This is what you have to underline. Whether it takes 100 years, millennium, or one lifetime, it has to go by stages. You have to cross the first stage, then the second stage, then the third stage. There is no shortcut. So you just can't say that he will directly go to the supramental descent. That is what he warned. It should not be your primary aim. Until you are sure that you have reached all the stages. And what are those stages? I repeat again and again, the higher mind, the illumined mind by intuition, then the intuitional mind, then the over mind. And there I am giving you the various names of the avatars which have the illumined mind is Sri Rama, over mind is Sri Krishna, intuitional mind and the border of ego cells is Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. So when we talk about integral yoga, you should know the various levels of consciousness the great heroes have. To which level of mind Bhagat Singh belongs, you should be able to tell. The stages are very much important. And you can only move by stages. That is what sometimes I think, that just as the quantum physics and chemistry are gaining ground in science, Sri Aurobindo has already quantized spiritualism. And when you say quantized, separate beings, separate quanta. Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is a quanta. Vivekananda is a quanta. Madame Blavatsky is a quanta. And all this integrated becomes Sri Aurobindo's integral yoga. These stages you have to understand and you have to grow. And I guarantee that if you can read this book, you can finish it in 1 year, all these stages. It is not difficult. The only thing is, all life must become yoga. Saying is very easy. That is why I am stressing it. If everything you do becomes a yoga, yoga means what? Conscious of the evolutionary process at that moment. If you are aware of it, if you are aware of the consciousness, of the consciousness of evolution, then it is yoga. Still, all evolution must move by stages. Even the greatest rapidity and concentration of the movement cannot swallow up all the stages or reverse natural process and bring the end near to the beginning. A hasty and ignorant mind, a too eager force, easily forget this necessity. They said, you should understand, don't be hasty, let us try to understand what he wants to tell. And that is why I say read it in his own language, because it is mantric. You understand what I mean by mantric now? It pulls you to that level of consciousness, those words. When a doctor imparts his knowledge to his students, the students are not doctors before they hear him, but they become doctor after they hear him, is it not? What do they do in the classroom? They just hear it. You hear these sounds, let them reverberate in your brain when you are reading it. A hasty and ignorant mind, a too eager force, easily forgets this necessity. They rush forward to make the supermind an immediate aim and expect to pull it down with a pitchfork from its highest heights in the infinite. This is not only an absurd expectation but full of danger, because your ego sense develops, and once when the ego sense develops, it is very difficult to remove, especially when you are practicing yoga. So be careful of all these dangers. We come to the introduction. There's one minute. Another error that has to be guarded against is also one to which our mentality is easily prone. It is to take some higher intermediate consciousness or even any kind of supernormal consciousness for the supermind. Be careful about it. That is where I am giving you these role models, so that you can put them before your experience and see. If they tally, that means you are in that plane. Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, where is he? Between the intuitional mind and the illuminated mind, in the center, where the ego is being just lost. Vivekananda, a bit higher, nearer to the supramental plane. Sri Aurobindo himself accepts it. Even though Vivekananda never mentioned about it, Sri Aurobindo was very specific that he has indicated about supramental truth. So you have not only to read, but you have to evaluate also what you are reading, because that will be your measuring stick. And I give you as a homework, to what plane does Shankaracharya belong? Ramanujacharya belong in the mental plane. Naturally, be sure you may get confused that they belong to the supermind. That is the warning he is giving. It is very easy to get confused, to take that some higher intermediate consciousness which is not yet supramental, to think that it is supramental. Okay? And there we integrate all the philosophers in the world, all the teachers in the world, all the leaders in the world as a part of the integral yoga. Next. Even the achievement of a complete inner revelation. These are the guiding lines. Continuing of that last para, I think, page 284, first para, line 27. All of you got it? 284. All of you got it? Even the achievement? Page 284. You go from below. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from below. Okay? Even the achievement of a complete inner liberation. That was the aim of our Vedic seas. That is where they stopped. Even the achievement of a complete inner liberation and a high spiritual consciousness. This high spiritual consciousness, he divides the rishis into two categories. The rishis, the maharshis and the rajarshis are one category, and the brahmarshis and devarshis are the other category. So the first category, the rishis, the maharshis, the rajarshis belong to a complete inner liberation. But the brahmarshis and devarshis, after liberation, they work for the human cause. You know the brahmarshis and devarshis, the Narada especially, always acts even though he is liberated. You understand the difference? The brahmarshis and devarshis work for the divine cosmic world. The rishis, the maharshis and rajarshis, if they are liberated, they are happy. These two classes is not the supreme transformation. That is not what supermind is. It is higher than these two categories. For we may have that achievement, a status perfect in itself, in essence, and still our dynamic part may in their instrumentation belong to an enlightened spiritualized mind and may be in consequence, like all minds, defective even in its greater power of knowledge. So before you can have the real supramental descent, if there is even a iota of defect in your lower mind, it is dangerous. But you need not worry in integral yoga about the dangers, because Mother and Sri Aurobindo have a safety valve fixed in this sadhana. Unless and until you have a perfect surrender, you will not get supramental defect. And whenever there is a defect in your thinking process, you cannot have a perfect surrender, therefore no danger. So by reading this, you may find that this is very dangerous. But Sri Aurobindo is a master craftsman. He put the safety valve also. Still, still subject to a partial or local obscuration or a limitation by the original circumscribing nations. Okay. Now we go to the introduction. First page or fifth page. We start the introduction. And I hope I will finish the introduction 5 chapters today. Introduction, the conditions of synthesis. So, introduction, chapter 1, life and yoga. Fifth line. Every form tends towards harmonizing complexity and totality, which again breaks apart into various channels of special effort and tendency, only to unite once more in a larger and quiescent synthesis. You got this line? Page 5. Then the second point continues. This is what Sri Aurobindo meant by physicality. Even though we know it, a particular part of the physicality is finding it difficult, help him. That is real yoga. A real integral yoga. Got it? Okay. Every such form tends towards a harmonized complexity and totality, which again breaks apart into various channels of special effort and tendency, only to unite once more in a larger and more piscent synthesis. That is the first part. Now the second part. Development of forms is an imperative rule of effective manifestation. Where is it? Continuation. Development into forms is an imperative rule of effective manifestation. At all truth and practice, too strictly formulated becomes old, and much if not all of its virtue, it must be constantly renovated by streams of spirit, revivifying the dead and dying vehicle and changing it if it is to acquire a new life. So this is the first fundamental rule of life which we should remember, that whenever that a complexity is a condition, the human body is the most complex form that has been evolved in the physical planet Earth. Complexity is the first rule. And now what is the second rule? Sometime or other, this complexity becomes worn out. Then it has to dissolve and again reform a more complex form. So, to be perpetually reborn is the condition of a material immortality. This is the first rule or law of integral yoga. This is the first law. To be perpetually reborn is the condition of a material immortality. Of that, what I told you, we should be aware that we were always together with Sri Aurobindo. We are born with Sri Aurobindo, and even now we are working with Sri Aurobindo. He has left only his physical body. His vital body is as active as ever. So that is the meaning. When I said to be perpetually reborn is the condition of a material immortality. Got the point? What I want to convey is the continuity of consciousness is there. The evolution is continuously growing. What we are now trying to do is to take the reins of evolution into our hands. Instead of nature, the reins of evolution must be now in our hands. So what will happen? You will be perpetually reborn. That is why one of the greatest masters has told that each day is a new birth, each night is a new death. You should live in such a tremendous pace. Millenniums of evolution must be compressed in few years. So do you know how fast you have to live? So you should know this. To be perpetually reborn is the condition of a material immortality. And mind you, if you can live like that, you will be physically also immortal. Aurobindo proved it, Mother proved it, and what Sri Aurobindo couldn't do physically because of some time inhibition. Later, in the end of this integral yoga, we will understand super mind and time and space. So what mother did, she took the charge. She revolutionized the mental, physical and astral unit by which the human body is made up. For a human body to be made up, each cell is not enough. You remember it, just being a cell is not enough. Especially for our cells, we should get these, you are understanding what I mean by cell? C-E-L, cell. In biochemistry, I am talking about the biochemistry molecules. Every cell of us must have been a part of a sadhaka in previous lives. You try to understand the breadth of this statement. Your head, your fingernails, your entire body is made up of cells which were previously of some great sadhakas. If not, you cannot understand this. Do you think you are understanding it because you are understanding it and you know a bit of English? You remember this. To be perpetually reborn is the condition of material immortality. Therefore, if you can handle the cells of your body, and scientists say that every 7 years, every cell of our body is replaced. It is a fact in nature. Every cell of your body is replaced and you are alive. So if you can, with consciousness, replace your body's cells, you will become physically immortal. The technology, I don't remember, Sat Prem has written a book, The Man. Some German. Read that book. The Man Beyond, right. Read that book. And when I say read that book, you should finish tonight. You should not say that I will read it after 1 year. And how to finish it in one night? You read it and you will see that you can finish it. It happens. The miracles do happen. But only your plane of consciousness must be this. To be perpetually reborn is the condition of a material immortality. So now you have two books to read. One is the biography of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and then The Man Beyond. And let us hope, I will try to keep the number of books you have to read as small as possible. But at least it will be 108. To understand integrally, I am giving you the essence of it. With this in mind, you read that book. Then you are reading this Man Beyond. That is the name of the book. You keep this. He is talking about the transformation of the cells. Then you can read it fast. And when I am talking about the biography of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, what I mean, ego sense dissolving, but still the ego is persisting. A complicated sentence seems to be contradicting each other, but it is not. The ego sense is lost, the ego persists, that is bhava mukho bhava. Then, next slide, Amma. Page 5, line 15. This is more very, very important. This is the point from where we are starting our integral yoga, synthesis of yoga. This is the starting point. This is from where we should start. We are in an age full of throes of travel, where all forms of thought and activity that have in themselves any strong power of utility or any secret virtue of persistence are being subjected to a supreme test and given their opportunity of rebirth. Very clear? All the thoughts rise from the Big Bang, when the planet Earth started its life. We have a large number of thoughts. And now at this present moment, in the cauldron of time, every thought is being tested. When you see the newspapers, when you see the developments in different planes of existence, in HA planes of existence. Artists and film actors live in a different plane. No, the mafia leaders live in a different plane. Our lives don't crisscross, is it not? The planes are different. But when you look after the world that is alive before us, you find that all ancient and modern thoughts are now being tested for the truth of it. If they can survive, there is life in them. If it can't survive, there is no life in it. And the real thought that has any life, any thought that has an iota of life and which will continue for coming millennium of years is what synthesis of yoga is. He synthesizes every thought in the world, every thought, the positive thought as well as the negative thought. With that emotion you read it. I knowingly use this word emotion. You have the emotion to integrate the right and the wrong, the left and the right. And all are, we are in an age full of throes of travail, when forms of thought and activity that have in themselves any strong power of utility or any secret virtue of persistence are being subjected to a supreme test and given their opportunity of rebirth. And that is where India has to play its role as Jagadguru. Again, you have to be reborn as a Jagadguru, but in the present ages, don't try to repeat the back stages. Don't try to become and use the thoughts of 5,000 years back. And how Sri Aurobindo has molded it, we will read it. Next, page 5, line 23. Indian yoga, all of you got it? Indian yoga in its essence is a special action or formulation of certain great powers of nature, itself specialized, divided and variously formulated, is potentially one of these dynamic elements of future life of humanity. Now what is he talking about? Indian yoga is going to be reborn. Is it clear? The sentence is very clear. It is being reborn. Then line 27. The child of immemorial ages, preserved by its vitality and truth into our modern times, it is now emerging from the secret schools and ascetic retreats in which it had taken refuge and is seeking its place in the future sum of living human power and utilities. Very obvious. The meaning is very clear. The future of humanity lies in the rebirth of yoga. That is what he means by these words. And we, as the students of this science, must see that this science is not only understood clearly by us, but it is being practiced by the cultured people of humanity. We can't expect all to practice this science, but those who are interested in it must become really actively interested. Next. Page 6, line 4. Got it? First paragraph, line 4. Reorganizing itself, it will enter more easily and powerfully into the reorganized race of the life. This is very important. The reorganization of the yoga. The traditional yoga has 8 limbs. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. It has to be reorganized. We need not reorganize. He has reorganized it here in these 2 books. You have to understand it. This is the motto with which we should read. How the reorganizing itself, what? The yogic truths, which were once in the ancient retreats, which were not given to the public, which were once secret, must be reorganizing itself. It will enter more easily and powerfully into the reorganized race of the life, which its processes claim to lead within into the most secret penetralia and upward to the highest attitudes of existence and personality. Clear itself? Clear? Next. Page 6, line 22. This is what we should always remember. This is the message what Sri Aurobindo got in the jail. For full 14 days he heard the voice of Vivekananda. But the crux of what Sri Aurobindo got as a message from Vivekananda, who was just touching the limits of overmind. He didn't talk about supramind. He was touching. Why I am saying all this is, when once we enter into the real practice of the mind, we should know where we are. So we put our brain thought process with this person. If you are thinking like Vivekananda, you are almost in the far edge of overmind. If you are thinking like Ramakrishna Paramahansa, you are in the Bhavamukha, in between intuitive mind and illumined mind. And I have given you a homework, I think, about Shankaracharya and Ramanuja. And if a hint may help you, it is believed that Christ has been reborn as Ramanuja. If this may help you, I am not talking about the real aspects of that, is it really true or not. I am going to give this example only to test your ideology, how Christ thought and how Ramanuja thought, and is there any similarity and a growth. That is why I am giving this example. It is, suppose by a cult that Christ is again reborn as Ramanuja. And probably if this can be explained, many of these religious clashes can be avoided. If Christ becomes Ramanuja, no problem. Then yoga, as Swami Vivekananda has said, may be regarded as a means of compressing one's evolution into a single life or a few years or even a few months of bodily existence. Do you understand why this time scale is given? We who are linked with Sri Aurobindo must finish it in a few months. Why? Self-evident. Because you are being taught from so many lifetimes by him. If you are coming for the first time to your sin, single lifetime. If once you touch Sri Aurobindo and come back, and touch Sri Aurobindo and come back, few years. So one thing is guaranteed, you will understand it in this life. And if you are really interested, we can finish it in few months, maybe in a week, who knows. Next. Yogic methods have, can I take 15 minutes extra? It depends on you, Amma. So that I can finish these 5 chapters. Now just I have given you a process of how to think, I can finish it fast. Yogic methods have something of the same relation to the customary psychological working of man as has the scientific handling of the force of electricity or steam to their normal operations in nature. We utilize mind in daily life. We utilize steam in daily life. But in a steam engine, they utilize the same steam knowing its laws. And do you know how powerful it becomes? Similarly, just like natural electricity and natural steam are almost a very harmless thing, not very potent. Similarly, our mind is very harmless. But once you go into the yogic methods, they become very powerful, just as steam and electricity becomes very powerful when you know its laws. And here in integral yoga, you are going to know the laws of mind. And the first law I have given you, remember it, don't forget it. Every part of your body regenerates itself every day. And if you are capable of attracting the correct yogic cell, your body becomes a yogic body. You are every day reborn. you can become physically immortal. Then page 8, line 6. All of you got it? Page line 6 from below. The true and full object and utility of yoga can only be accomplished when the conscious yoga in man becomes conscious yoga. Nature is always practicing yoga and furthering you in evolution. Conscious yoga, like the subconscious yoga in nature, outwardly coterminous with life itself, and we can once more looking out both on the path and the achievement, say in a more perfect and luminous sense, all life is yoga. Next slide. So that's that. So that is the first point. Now we come to the second chapter, the three steps of nature. Page 19, last para. We perceive then these three steps in nature. I have removed the word perceive, it doesn't mind. A bodily life, which is the basis of our existence here in this material world, what is known as the sthula sharira, annamaya kosha and pranamaya kosha, the nervous system. So what Sri Aurobindo says is, in nature there are always three steps. A step is completely finalized and perfected. Another step is in the process of growing. And the third step is in the process of coming. So what we have already achieved in this body is, we have mastered annamaya kosha and pranamaya kosha. Have we mastered? If you do the yoga of annamaya kosha, asanas, you master annamaya kosha. And if you do pranayama, your nervous system becomes capable enough to let the higher mind come down. Forget about supermind. Let the higher mind come down. But for this, what you have to do? You have to do pranayama. And that is where Sri Aurobindo also started. His life is his message. Don't say that I won't do pranayama because I am an integral yoga practitioner. You have to integrate pranayama also. You have to integrate asanas also. And then remember that these two are completely perfected. What we can do is, we can spoil them. You always get a perfect annamaya kosha and pranamaya kosha from birth. What we are doing now, by mismanagement, we have dwindled the already perfect annamaya and pranamaya koshas. Let us revive it. And then what? We have a mental life. See, about page 12, line 12. Got it? A mental life, he has in him not only a single mentality, but a double and a triple. The mind, material and nervous. Cross the line. Got it? Second paragraph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Ninth line, second paragraph. He has in him not a single mentality, but a double and a triple. The mind, material and nervous. The pure body and the senses. The intellectual mind, which liberates itself from the illusions of the body and senses. And the divine mind, above intellect, which in its turn liberates itself from the imperfect modes of the logically discriminative and imaginative reason. And now, we go down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Second paragraph, from below, you go to the 10th line above, the true human existence. Therefore, only begins when the intellectual mentality emerges out of material and we begin more and more to live in the mind independent of the nervous and physical obsession, and in measure of that liberty are able to accept rightly and rightly use the life of the body. Now you understand what I am saying. A mental life, it has three levels of mind. The first is the mind, material and nervous, which we are using. material in day-to-day life, we are using the material mind and the nervous mind. Next, pure intellectual mind, which liberates itself from the illusion of the body and the senses. And next, a divine mind above intellect, which liberates itself from the imperfect modes of logically discriminative and imaginative reasons. The A is the lower mind. The B is our normal mind, with which we do our day and day affairs. And in C, we have four levels. The higher mind, the illuminative mind, the intuitive mind, and the over mind. And after that, in Vijnanamaya Kosha, you have the super mind. Next. The mental life, page 14, line 1. First line itself. In this conclusion that I have left, the mental life, far from being a recent appearance in man, this is what I want all of you to note. A mental life, far from being a recent appearance in man, is the swift repetition in him of a previous achievement from which the energy in the race has undergone one of her deplorable recoils. This is where I am giving you that guarantee that in 1 year you can understand the Vijnanamaya Kosha because of some fault, some defect in our mental nature. The supermind couldn't discern at that time, 5,000 years ago. That was the plane of overmind when the Mahabharata war was going on. And when you read the second section, you will find that much what Sri Aurobindo has said is what has been told in Gita plus something else. So we have fallen from the state of overmind when we were in that plane. When Sri Aurobindo was Sri Krishna, for me it is a fact. But why I don't say it, in integral yoga every man has got his own thought processes. But for me, Sri Aurobindo is the direct descent of the Sri Krishna consciousness of overmind from the start, and he reached the supramental level in this plane in this era. That is why that guarantee, all of us, if you can understand what is written here, the mental life, far from being a recent appearance in man, is the fifth repetition in him of a previous achievement from which the energy in the race has undergone one of her deplorable recoils. So I am going to give you the challenge. Reach the overmind. You have already obtained it once. You can obtain it again. Then page 15, last para. The assertion of a higher than the mental life, its acquisition organization, is the object of yoga. I have just removed few words, but you now understand what we are going to do. You have to understand what is evolution and hasten it quickly, because you are only in a recoiling aspect. And then expansion of a higher than mental life, higher than over mind, its acquisition and organization is the object of yoga. Next. Page 16, para 2. And now Sri Aurobindo very clearly states that you try to use the Sanskrit terminology. Never be a slave to the English terminology, because he says that the English terminology cannot convey the real truth of yoga. So I am giving you this terminology. Sthula Sharira is Annamaya and Pranamaya Koshas. In the paragraph, he has given the details. I have just taken up the Sanskrit equivalent and projecting it. All of you are following it? I have not...
Hmm.
is the whole foundation of Indian philosophy. I have just removed it because it is now an integral philosophy. No. But Gita was given in the plane of overmind. So Sri Krishna himself evolved, and his evolution you can understand by his childhood to the Vrindavan's Rasa Leela, and again his playing of Murali, and then he has not used the Murali, he has used only the Chakra. So these four levels you can see in the four levels of Sri Krishna's life. His childhood, higher mind, where he conquers the lower Rakshasas, Putanavadha, Trunavartavadha, and all Sakadasuravadha. All this is the higher mind. And the higher mind can very easily kill the lower mind. Even though you may think that the lower mind is very powerful, the higher mind naturally can subjugate the lower mind. That is where he kills all the Rakshasas. You understand now? The Krishnas, these leelas of killing the devils and demons and all this belong to the higher mind. And the illumined mind is the incident of the Brahma stealing the cows and the... You are remembering the story? Brahma thinks, this small boy, how can he be an avatar? And what he does is, he takes all the calves and cows and all the gopalas and puts them in what the modern term we will known as hijacking. And what happens? After 1 year he comes back and sees everyone is there. He recreates it. So from higher mind where does he go? To the illumined mind. The illumination can create shadows. And remember, this body is a shadow of our higher mind. So that is that life in Sri Krishna where he goes into the illumined mind. And when he goes to the Rasa Leela, it is the intuitive mind. Everyone intuits everyone. Everyone feels that he is with Sri Krishna. It is the plane of intuition. That Rasa Leela is much misunderstood because you make it a physicality. If you make it a physicality, naturally it will sound very absurd and very silly. But now if you can understand it as a intuitive mind, and how the sound of the Murali, how the breath, which is equated with Vijnanamaya Kosha, you can understand how the illumined mind converts into a intuitive mind. And after that, till Mahabharata, the development of the overmind continues. And with his leaving the physical body, he allowed the overmind to rule till 1911. Till 1911, it was the overmind which was recoiling. That is what in the first. We have a fall. All of us were with Sri Krishna in the overmind stage. There is a recoil, but the overmind stage was maintained by Sri Krishna permanently. A very interesting factor. Similarly, till the millennium, Sri Aurobindo is going to keep the supramental stage alive. To whosoever is interested to go there, he will go there only because of Sri Aurobindo. Anyone who can understand Einstein's law can go there only because of Einstein. Because you are tuned to his mind. Clear? Stage 16. The terminology of yoga, second para, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9th line. The terminology of yoga recognizes, besides the status of our physical and vital being, termed the gross body and doubly composed of the foot sheath and the vital vehicle, besides the status of our mental being, termed the subtle body and singly composed of the mind sheath and mental vehicle, a third supreme and divine status of supramental being, termed the causal body and composed of the fourth and fifth vehicles. So this is the terminology which we should remember. What Sri Aurobindo very clearly talks about as supramental descent, they have been hinted at. Remember the word hinted at. Hinted at doesn't mean they knew it. They have, the rishis have, a concept that there is something higher than the mind. But Sri Aurobindo has given it a scientific permanence, a scientific formulation. And that scientific formulation is of the Karana Sharira, composed of Vijnana and Anandamaya Koshas. And where we are to concentrate as the practitioners of integral yoga is the Sushma Sharira, the Manomaya Kosha. The various levels of mind we have to comprehend, and then we have to understand. Here we will stop it. But tomorrow I will be a bit fast, and I will try to finish about 200 pages. But why I took this much time is, I want to orient you to Aurobindo, not to Sri Aurobindo. Try to understand the difference. And if you can understand, tomorrow we will talk about it. But Sri is the atom bomb which can explode the mental bomb. Always remember, Sri goes to Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya Koshas. Shrine to the mental plane. And clean to Annamaya and Pranamaya Koshas. That is the sound technology of yoga. So, tomorrow I will be a bit fast. But if you find that I am not able to convey what I want, then you stop me, because it is not completion of the book that is important. It is understanding of the book that is important. And understanding, according to Sri Aurobindo, means the buddhi. We are now reading with the mind. Let us try to understand it with buddhi, understanding. Jai Guru Dev.